Ladies and gentlemen, find your seats. We're going to be opening with prayer, and we're going to go ahead and get started eating, even though it's not 12:30, because Quakers are quick like that. Find your seats. When you get seated, Mr. Randy Nichols, the president of Quaker Men, will lead us in a prayer, and then we will go ahead and prepare to go to Mary Thury with your tickets. We will start on this end and work our way that way so that I can eat first, and then we will get ready to go for the day.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you together in this place, in this day, at this time. We are your servants, your people, and we seek your inspiration and the movement of your Holy Spirit among us. Bless the breaking of our bread, our fellowship one with another, our communion with you. Be with Robert and Sarah as they come to share. Bless Carrie as she emcees us through this. May our words, our thoughts, and our deeds be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Have you enjoyed your time at Iowa Yearly Meeting this year? Hasn't it been wonderful? Did you all notice the banner that we did for Triennial up here? I want you to really, if you want to go up and touch it and feel it and just absorb it, it cost us $190. I'd like to get my money's worth out of that sucker. Do you know how much auctioning we did to pay for that darn thing? So enjoy it while it's here. It has been a blessing. I am Carrie Hadley, the pretty one, and I am the president of USFW here in Iowa, and it is our job to host you for the missions banquet. And didn't we do wonderful? Wasn't the meal fantastic? Thank you. We know how to throw on a party, don't we? We are good at this after Triennial and everything else we've done. We can really pull this together. I'm not going to speak much. I know that's a shock to all of you. I'm not selling anything. I'm not going to bury anybody. I'm not marrying anybody. I am simply going to turn it over to our speakers. This is the missions banquet. We honor missions and missionaries. One of the things that we're blessed with in Iowa is that we actually have missionaries being sent out from Iowa to other parts of the world. And so we're blessed to have Robert and Sarah Ratcliffe with us. So what we're going to do is they're going to speak 18 and a half minutes because this has been a very long few days and we want to go home today. And I've got a lot of things to get done before church tomorrow. So we're going to cut them very quickly. They can get it done in 18 and a half minutes. Now listen, when they're done, you will know that you want to bless them. That's when we will be taking up the offering for them. I don't want to take it up now because if you pay me now, and they're not any good, you might want a refund. If you find that they're really, really dynamic, you'll pay more. And you all know that you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. You've learned that from me. So I want you to prepare your hearts to give. And when you write your checks, if you'll make them to USFW, we will immediately disperse those funds today. Even though the check could bounce, we actually have money left over from Triennial. So we're going to go ahead and release the funds as soon as they leave the building, so they can know what they have, okay? So be generous. This is all on them, all right? So I'm going to take just a moment and just pray for them that God will give them the words that they need because they only have 18 minutes to sell their idea to you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Ratcliffes. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Father, I just thank you for joy in your presence. We just turn this time over to you, and we just ask that you'll bless this time and help us to understand their hearts towards Cambodia at this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Mr. and Mrs. Ratcliffe, it's all yours. 18 minutes, go.
So I guess I'm also one of the prettiest ones. And it's been a blessing to come back here to our yearly meeting. 2 years ago, this yearly meeting commissioned us, laid hands on us, and prayed us out to California to start working with Cambodians. We valued that time of laying on of hands. We still think about it. We value the prayers that have been going on these last 2 years that we've been going through training. Prayer is a powerful thing, and you've helped us through spiritual warfare, and we just want to say thank you for that. And to keep praying for us, sign up for our prayer sheet so we can give you emails, but then email us back and be like, hey, what's going on this week? What's happening? Because when you're stuck in life, sometimes we forget to ask people to pray for us. And that's what drives ministry, is prayer. We're going to go through some of the three big questions we get asked, then let you know what we've been doing these last 2 years. Why Cambodia is a big question we get asked. Why EFCSW? And what are we going to be doing in Cambodia once we're there? The first one's pretty easy. You all have heard of Nathan Brianna Martin, and they put Cambodia on our radar. That's how I first found out about Cambodia. Before they left in 2008, they were mission speakers at Camp Quaker Heights. They did prayer stations talking about the world, missions, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Where is God leading you? And it was a reconfirmation in my heart that, yes, I wanted to go. I wanted to be a goer. I wanted to be somebody that God could send to anywhere in the world. But knowing I also had 4 years of college and wondering what that passion, what that desire would look like after college. Would it still be there? Would it be diluted? And being afraid I wouldn't go. It was 3 years before I went overseas anywhere. I wanted to go before I graduated college to see if that passion was still there, and I wanted to go to a new, exciting country, somewhere different, somewhere that my brother hadn't been. But Nathan kept telling me about Cambodia. It's still an on-reach place. It's 1% Christian. They have a minority of Muslims there. They need workers for the harvest field. And so I wanted to see their ministry. I wanted to see what they're doing. So I set aside 2 months to go to Cambodia, and God used that timing for Nathan and Brianna to be pregnant and get to have their first son, Caleb. And he used that to leave me stranded in Cambodia. I got Nathan for 3 days. He showed me the ice cream places in the capital for when I got homesick. That's dear to my family. And he gave me his bicycle because he didn't quite trust me with his moto to go around in the capital. And I was really bummed. I wanted to see Nathan Brianna's ministry. I wanted to see what they were doing. But God revealed to me during that first month that he had to take away my crutches. He wanted to plant a seed in my heart to produce roots that were going to entangle my heart so much that I couldn't rip it out even if I wanted to. And that's how he defined Cambodia for me. He showed me the people. He showed me his love for the people and their hunger to heal themselves and them not knowing Christ so they can't heal themselves properly, because Christ is the only healer. We can treat as much as we want, but if we don't have Christ, we're not going to be healed fully. When I see videos of Cambodia, I start crying. Like, it's rooted in there, and I hope that you guys have a stirring out of your heart with this yearly meeting, what we've been talking about, revival. You have to have that stirring to kneel, to pray, so that things will change in this world. So when me and Robert started dating, it actually reminded me about my time in Cambodia, because it wasn't something I wanted and it wasn't something I expected. I thought he was pretty cheesy. He has all these jokes that he think are really funny that maybe you'll like them. You'll find out in a little bit. I don't know. But God showed me his heart. God showed me his heart for Christ. God showed me his heart for Asia. God showed me how Robert wanted to move where God was leading him. And he was showing me this gift he wanted to give me, that I could either take it or I could leave it aside. But it was a gift he really wanted me to open up. And that's what Cambodia was for me. It was a lot like falling in love. It was a gift God wanted to give me so that I could either open it and see where it would be and how to use it, or I could leave it aside. And I'm so glad that we've taken this gift and we're opening it up. We're exploring it. Robert was saved in the French church. He became saved at 17. I grew up in the French church. We wanted to stay friends. We love friends. We love you guys. So we wanted to go with a friends organization. And EFCSW, which is Evangelical French Church Southwest, they're based out of California, Arizona, in Las Vegas, they're the only friends organization in Cambodia at this time. And I knew the missions director. We had been emailing back and forth, and he really wooed us. After I went the first time in 2011, he kept texting us and emailing us, wanting to know what we thought of Cambodia, what our time like was in Cambodia, how he could help give us resources about Cambodia. So that's what you guys prayed us out to really explore this organization and see where we connected or could connect with EFCSW to go to Cambodia.
So I get the opportunity to share about what we're going to do in Cambodia. And I think my 18 minutes might be up, so I'm just going to keep going, and I don't think Isaac's going to turn my mic off. So. Sorry, Carrie. Does anybody know the name Anna Honeycutt? Is that name familiar to anybody? In 1891, there were six Friends churches in all of California, in like the L.A. area, what's now the greater L.A. area. They were spread out at the time, but they since grown together. Amongst these were Long Beach Friends, a church in L.A., a church near Azusa Pacific. And out of these six churches, they asked Iowa Yearly Meeting if they would sponsor them to become their own yearly meeting. In 1994, they had their first own yearly meeting sessions. And at that time, Anna Honeycutt stood up and said, "I think God's calling me to Guatemala." And she was the first missionary to Guatemala from the Friends churches in 1897. Anna Honeycutt received 1 year of formal education at William Penn College, my alma mater. This yearly meeting, this college, has been sending missionaries, has been planting churches, planting yearly meetings around the world. And Sarah and I feel like we are just the next generation, the next in line, carrying this torch. And we really can't do it without you. And we're so thankful for what happened here with this body 2 years ago, praying us out and sending us to California. And in the last 2 years, we have tried to commit ourselves to that work, to preparing to go to Cambodia. And your prayers have been a big part of that. In that time, we've lived in inner city Long Beach, working with first generation Khmer refugees, people who are so traumatized from the Khmer Rouge genocide that they don't know if there's healing available. But you and I know that there is healing in Jesus Christ. In our time in Long Beach, we've been learning the language. It's the longest alphabet in the world, something like 33 consonants and another 22 vowels. In that time, we've tried to learn as much language as we can. And we're probably at like a 3-year-old level. I can say what I want, I can say what I don't want, and I can ask where the bathroom is. We were working with our language helper, and we were talking about going to the market and getting some food, and I wanted to order some pineapple. Kyom joljet mano. What came out is, "I would like to buy some people." Learning a language has been incredibly humbling, and it's really kind of taught me a little bit more about my own reliance upon God, because I'm going to make these mistakes, but hopefully through my mistakes, the message of Jesus Christ can be known. Along with language learning, side by side with that goes culture learning. How do you approach somebody? How do you talk to somebody? How do you approach an elder? And all these issues arise. I made one of these gaffes in church on Easter Sunday. That's like the time to make a mistake, right? When this older Khmer woman was there, and I referred to her as Ming, which means aunt, when I should have referred to her as Ye, which means grandmother, and I must have had 55 Cambodian faces staring at me. We make these gaffes, and we make these mistakes, and we learn from them, and we press on, knowing that the gospel is worth it. That's why we do what we do. I think what I'd like to do now is go into a time of closing. I'd like to share a chapter of scripture with you. I'm going to share Hebrews 11. I'm going to go into our prayer requests and about what we're going to do, what the next 2 years in Cambodia looks like. Would that be okay with you? I've never had anybody say no to that. I think Carrie might be thinking about telling me no, because I think my time's... So if you want to open your Bibles to Hebrews 11, or if most people just like to watch me, I'm just going to go into it. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance in what we do not see, and this is what the ancients were commended for. For by faith we understand that the whole universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he died. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. For he could not be found because God took him away. And before God had taken him away, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because for anyone to come to him, they must first believe that A, he earnestly rewards those who seek him, and B, that he exists. And by faith, Noah, when warned of that which was not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith he became heir of salvation, that is, in with keeping the faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Like a stranger in a foreign land, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. By their faith, they showed that they were looking for a city with foundations. By faith, Sarah, when she was past her childbearing age, was enabled to bear children. So she considered him who had made the promise faithful. And so from this one man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And all of these people were living in faith when they died, yet none of them received what was promised. They only saw it and welcomed it at afar, admitting that they were strangers and foreigners here on earth. And people who say such things, they show that they're looking for a new nation, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has built for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up his son. See, he who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said, "It is through Isaac that your descendants will be reckoned." See, Abraham thought God can even raise the dead back to life. And so, in a manner of speaking, Abraham received Isaac raised back from the dead. By faith, Isaac, when he was old, leaned against the top of his staff, blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was old, praised and worshiped God, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph, foreseeing the exodus out of Egypt, gave instructions regarding his very bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid the child away for the first 3 months because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of fleeting sin. He counted disgrace for the sake of Christ to be more valuable than all the treasures of Egypt. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover so that when the destroyer of firstborn visited Egypt, the firstborn of the Israelites was passed over. By faith, the Israelites left Egypt, marching through the sea. Yet when the Egyptians tried to do the same, they were drowned. By faith, the walls at Jericho came crashing down on the seventh day at the sound of that trumpet. By faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with those who were disobedient because she welcomed in the spies. And what more can I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, or if all the prophets and kings who by faith administered justice, received what was promised, shut the mouths of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the swords. Their weakness was turned to strength, and they became powerful in battle, routing foreign armies. Women received their dead, raised back to life again. They were tortured, refusing to be released, that they might have a better resurrection. They were jeered and flogged, chained and imprisoned. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were cut down by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and in goatskin. They were destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world is not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains. They lived in caves and in holes in the ground. And all these people were living in faith when they died, and none of them received what was promised, because God had something better, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you do not grow weary and lose heart. Amen? What Sarah and I are trying to do as missionaries is nothing more than fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I told this scripture with the purpose in that this is our history. And we are going with EFCSW because it's our history. And we're just the next torchbearers. Our first prayer request is this. We need prayers. Every major mission organization in the world recommends 500 believers praying for missionaries on a daily basis. Sarah and I have been to Cambodia. We know 500's not enough. We're asking our churches to raise up 5,000 people to pray for us on a daily basis, to pray for Nathan and Brianna and us every day. Our second prayer request is we need to add another $200 a month in finances. I told this to Randy, sitting right up here. I told this to him yesterday, 2 days ago. And I said, Randy, we need $200 a month. You can cover that, right? He said, no. I can give you 10. And he signed up right there, and I'm so thankful for that. We need another 190 now. So pray that we can meet somebody really rich who can give us $190 a month, or 19 people moderately rich who will give us 10 a month. Our third prayer request, and this is the most important thing that I will say today. If you get nothing else from anything I've said up here, I hope you get this. The biggest prayer request we have. We need you. Sarah and I, Nathan and Brianna, need you to raise up this generation of leaders and the next to disciple them into disciple makers and to send them to Cambodia to give 4 to 15 years of their life for the work of the gospel there. We believe that the churches that we think God wants to have in Cambodia cannot exist. They will not exist unless we have more missionaries. And we can't do this work unless if we have your prayers behind us, your finances backing us, and missionaries beside us. I'm convinced of this, that Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, is worthy to receive the rewards of his suffering. And that is the love, adoration, and worship of every tribe, tongue, and nation on this earth. He paid for that with his own life. He paid for that reward. And if we want to see that, if we want to see his kingdom in every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, we need your prayers, we need your finances, and we need you to disciple people to become missionaries with us. Will you pray with me? Lord, I'm so thankful to be a part of this organization that you have used for the last 135 or so years to build your kingdom in Iowa, to extend it to California, to Guatemala, to Alaska, and now into Cambodia, and to be a part of the larger body of church that has spread across the world and is currently going. And I thank you so much that you would call me to be a servant. It's incredible, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity here to share. I pray that my words would be a blessing, that we would be filled up by your Spirit here today. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Am I turning this over to you, or thank you?
The hooker heels are no problem. The slip, not so much. Could we get the Sodexo group out here so we can give them a generous hand clap for their wonderful catering? Chef, are you out there? Are they coming? Do they see us? Pastor Tower is going to go check. There they are. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Awesome. You did a great job, guys. Thank you. About forgot that. As I was sitting there relishing all the things I ate and thinking I shouldn't have worn this girdle. Anyway, that's too much information, isn't it? All right, we're ready to take up the offering, and I want to ask Daryl Zellie. Oh, he's gone. Oh, he went up. Isaac, you can do this. You've done nothing but run the sound system. So thank you once again for running sound. And I made this basket myself. I stole it from Mary. So we'll pray after we receive the offering, and you can go ahead and start taking it. And here's what we're going to do for the offering. We're going to sing a cappella. We're just simply going to sing, I love you, Lord. Doesn't that sound like a cool, appropriate thing to sing? Following Hebrews, and he all went all the way to chapter 12, verse 4, because I was following along. So he read an entire chapter and then half of another one. Let's start singing. I love you, it again. Amen. That was beautiful. Let's pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the missionaries that you're calling out and sending to Cambodia, the Radcliffs. Father God, I believe that $190 a month will come in. We call it forth in Jesus' name. I thank you for this offering, that it will be used mightily for your kingdom. Multiply it back 100-fold to those that have given so generously today. We give you all the praise and all the glory for this day and beyond in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming, being a part of the banquet. We're honored to serve you today. You are dismissed to fellowship and go on forward.